Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Do not work for the food that perishes, for the food that is temporary, for the food of this world, for the sustenance of this living here today, for the clothing that we wear, for the food that we eat, for the things that we need for everyday living. Jesus tells us here in John's Gospel, do not work for the food that perishes. It's temporary food. It's the food that we need and that we'll eat today. It's the daily bread that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. It's the daily food that we need. And he says, don't have your focus just on the daily bread. Don't have your focus just on the food of today. But focus instead on the bread that the Son of Man will give you eternally. The bread that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Instead, focus yourself on the eternal bread, on the things of God eternal. The response of the people is a logical one. What must we do to perform the works of God? After all, if they're going to be working for eternal bread, if they're going to be working for heavenly bread, if they're going to be working for the bread that God is going to give them through the Son of Man, then they're going to be doing the works of God. What must they do to perform the works of God? And Jesus' reply comes rather straightforward. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. That you believe in Him whom He has sent, whom God has sent. That you have faith in the One whom God sends. That your faith be focused in on the One whom God has sent to give this eternal bread. The work that God has for us to do, in other words, is to focus our faith, our trust, our hope on Jesus. Do not work for the food that perishes, for the sustenance of today, but for the food that comes from God, for the sustenance that comes from God through the Son of Man, for the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Continuing, they asked for proof. What sign are you going to give us so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're back to breakfast, friends. They had had the loaves and the fishes. They'd had eaten their fill, and they're looking for Jesus because they want to have breakfast. They want to have a miracle caterer again. They're looking for their Egg McMuffins, their Happy Meals. They're hungry. And they want to eat. Prove it to us. You fed us yesterday, but what have you done for us lately? Isn't that just like us? Demanding more and more and more and more and more and more is never enough. Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The manna, the what is it bread that God gave to the Israelites in the wilderness, was temporary bread. You could collect enough for the day and eat it that day. But if you collected more than what you could eat in a day, it would start to rot the next day. You couldn't collect more than what you needed for your daily need. Give us this day our daily bread is the image here. In other words, the manna that came from heaven isn't the bread of heaven. It's God's gift, yes. It's God's sustenance, yes. But it's not the bread of heaven. The true bread of heaven, Jesus says, the true bread of heaven is the bread that the Father gives, the bread of God that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Heavenly bread, divine supply, spiritual sustenance, the true bread of heaven. And the people reply, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." That word "comes to me" is drawn to me, comes near to me, comes quickly to me. Those who come to me, there's a sense of urgency here. Those who approach me, who come to me, who are drawn to me, will never be hungry. And those who believe, who exercise faith in me, will never be thirsty. My brothers and sisters, the calling we have as the people of God is to come quickly to Jesus, accept the fact that we can't support ourselves eternally, feast on the riches of His grace, depend and trust in His love, and know that He will never leave us or forsake us. That's the basic message of the gospel, friends, that Christ Jesus died for us and gives eternal supply to us. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of Holy Communion. That's the message of the church. But you know what? That's not good enough for some people. That's not good enough for some people. Some people think they need to fix us. They need to change us. They need to reconstruct us. They need to mold and shape us after their image so that we look and smell and sound and taste like them, that we behave like them. Some people think that we need to be changed and transformed, fixed and repaired. That happens to me all the time. I get people coming to me all the time over the internet saying, "You need to change. Someone has listened to one of my sermons or some of my sermons or watched some of my sermons on the internet or read some of my articles or read of one of my books," and they come to me and they say, "I have a bone to pick with you. I disagree with you here, here, and here, and you need to change your mind here, here, and here, because you're wrong here, here, and here. But I'll pray for you." Thanks, I appreciate that. Sometimes, though, they don't bother to say they'll pray for me. A couple of weeks ago, I was encountered on Facebook by a man who I'm going to name, because he put it on the public board on Facebook. So apparently he didn't mind that his name was attached to this. His name was Ross Earl Hoffman. If you're listening, Ross, this is about you. Ross Earl Hoffman. He had apparently listened to a couple of my sermons on communion. He apparently had watched a couple of my communion videos. And he decided that I need to be saved. I need to be corrected. I need to be fixed. Because I looked like I was almost there. I wore vestments. I preached about Jesus, I preached about communion, but the problem was I am a Methodist pastor and not an ordained Roman Catholic priest. And he sent me a message in which he said, "How's the symbolic bread and wine going?" I replied, "Well, for one thing, the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist isn't symbolic." And Ross replied, "It is in your hands, Gregory." And I replied, "I'm sorry, but are you attempting to intentionally insult me? Because you're doing a good job of it." He then proceeded to cut and paste source after source after source from all over the internet. Articles from Roman Catholic journals, canon law from the Roman Catholic Church, encyclicals of the Pope, detailing the imperfections of Protestants and imperfections of the Methodist Church and the failure of the church to be able to be a true, complete means of grace for believers. We may have some of the marks of the church, but we're lacking too many others, including communion with Rome. So our Eucharists are not valid, and our ordinations are not valid, and we're really not church. We're simply playing at church. And then he attached several videos of Methodists who have converted to Roman Catholicism. And then he attached links to articles from very conservative, Baptist-leaning, really, Methodists who talk about communion as symbol and as metaphor and as remembrance only and memorial and not as a means of grace. And then he attached an article from the General Board of Discipleship, which talked about Holy Communion as a means of grace and as real presence, but which talked against transubstantiation. The only problem with that last article is it's one of the ones that I wrote. And I wrote him back and I said, "You do realize that you're quoting me here, trying to quote against me. Won't work. Won't work." Now, I got plenty of Roman Catholic clergy friends. I got plenty of Roman Catholic laity friends who love me, who support me, who pray for me, who do not doubt that the calling that we have here is the calling of the church. The calling of the ministry that we have here is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that when we come to the table of the Lord, they do not doubt that we are coming to receive Jesus. They have affirmed me in this many ways, but here's someone who's not a Roman Catholic priest, who truly doubted and wanted to convert me. Because he said, "You almost got it. You just need to come a step more and become a priest. Until you do, you're going to burn in hell." Ugh. My brothers and sisters, I've been celebrating the Eucharist as an elder of the church for 18 years. I stand at the table of the Lord in awe and wonder at the majesty and mystery of the Holy Eucharist, of Holy Communion, of the Lord's Supper, of the table of the Lord. I stand in honor, fear, wonder, amazement at what we are called to do here in proclaiming the word, in deed, in sacrament, in proclaiming the word in song, in prayer, in service, in giving, and in sacrament. And every time I raise my hands to pray the great thanksgiving, I realize, yes, I am unworthy to come to this table and to preside at it or even receive from it. But because of who meets me here, the one who comes to meet me here, Jesus Christ our Lord, because He is the bread of heaven, because He is the bread of life, and He comes to meet me here, because of Jesus Christ, I know I can lift my hands in prayer and praise and offer the great thanksgiving and pray the words of remembrance, the words of institution, the words that speak Jesus spoke, and pray the words of invocation of the Holy Spirit and the epiclesis, and pray the presence of Jesus in our midst by the power of the Holy Spirit, a real presence we cannot comprehend. I know that because He is present with us, empowering us, we can come, we can lift our hands, we can celebrate, and we can receive Jesus here. I know by experience that Jesus is here. In our worship, in our praying, in our praising, in the proclaiming of the gospel, in our service ministries together, in our giving together, in our fellowshipping together, and yes, in our gathering at the table of the Lord, I know that Jesus is truly present. By experience, by tradition, by scripture, I know Christ Jesus is here. I can't explain how. Only that by faith we encounter the Lord right here. So no matter what this person says on Facebook, no matter what people may say at times to me about the invalidity of Methodist orders, I don't care. Jesus Christ doesn't care. Arguments about denominations don't matter to Jesus. Different denominations are kind of like different flavors of ice cream. Some people like vanilla. Some people like chocolate. Some people like peach. Some people like strawberry. Some people like cookies and cream and fudge tracks. My favorite is double Dutch chocolate. Ooh. Especially from Baskin Robbins. Their chocolate fudge ice cream is to die for, friends. And it's all ice cream. Different flavors, different styles, different tastes, but they're all ice cream. Likewise, be we Methodist or Baptist or Church of Christ or Presbyterian or Lutheran or Episcopalian or Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox or any other denomination you might wish to think of, regardless of name, we are all the people of Jesus. Jesus doesn't care about our name. Jesus cares about our faith. Jesus doesn't care about our denomination. Jesus cares about our faith. And we are called to respond to the call to come quickly to the bread of heaven and feast on the riches of His grace, and drink deeply of His reservoir of love, and be nourished and strengthened for eternal life. Yes, we have needs here in this world. The Father knows those needs and provides for them. We are called to focus on the bread of heaven. We are called to focus on Jesus Christ. We are called to focus on the kingdom of God and partake of the divine supply in the celebration feast, the Thanksgiving feast, the Eucharist, the Holy Communion that we are called to have with God. Love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ.
have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.